Hi, everybody. It's Alan, and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. Late yesterday morning, it was revealed New York State Senator Malcolm Smith, along with five other officials, including the number one and two elected executives of the Long Island Village, of the Village of Spring Valley in Rockland County, are facing charges of political corruption, including Democrat Smith's alleged bribery in efforts to enter the New York City mayo race as a Republican. These latest indictments are the tip of the iceberg when it comes to public corruption and lawbreaking by Empire State officials. On the Journal News Lowhood blog yesterday, reporter John Campbell listed 26 sitting and former state lawmakers charged over the last 13 years with everything from theft of public services to drunken driving. Today, of course, we want your take. We've been talking about it all day long, but it's your turn now on the culture of corruption that seems to pervade New York politics, and some would say the offices of many other local and federal elected and non-elected officials. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. Okay, gang, I really want to hear from you. Let me try to lay down a couple of rules for you if I can, and I hope you agree to them. The first is that, you make your comment, and but it doesn't have to come around a second or a third time. When it does, I'll move on because all of the phones will obviously be, hopefully will be ringing. And I want to give everybody their chance. That's what I do, I heard from somebody the other day who said that I had regularly discriminated against them by not giving them enough time. I hope that isn't true. I try to be fair, and I hope that you'll understand that the whole idea is to let everybody have their say here. So again, be nice, be clever, and be on time. Okay, here we go to Mike in Waterville. All right, Mike, you're on. 1-800-348-2551. Go, Mike.
Hello, doctor. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. One comment. A while back when Congressman McNulty retired,
yep,
I recall you interviewed him.
Yep.
And one of the poignant questions you asked him was, did he have any regrets? And I'll never forget this. He said, yes, I do. I'm the last non-millionaire congressman. I'm the last regular guy to represent the people.
So what do you think his regret was?
Well, I think the problem is, how does a congressman get to be a millionaire on $170,000 a year?
Well, that's true. Mike, there's another way of looking at it, which is that we have a country in which we celebrate millionaires. And so millionaires run for political office because they can spend a fortune of their own money to get elected. They have friends who have likewise amounts of money. And therefore, it's true. I don't know that he was the last one, but I do think that there are many, many people who have millions of dollars who run for political office. It's almost seen as their birthright, and the rest of it. So McNulty, of course, who was a favorite of mine, made a wonderful point about that. Because if it's a democracy, then how are you going to have democracy if, you don't get representation, which is representation of the commonwealth or the commonweal?
Right, exactly. And if I can make one more quick point.
Of course you can.
Do you remember when they voted in the bank bailout a few years ago?
Sure.
It was a Monday, and the original vote was for $7 billion bailout, and it was voted down. Do you recall that?
Actually, I don't. I'll be honest with you, Mike.
Well, on a Monday. It was a $7 billion bailout, and it was voted down.
Yeah.
My son, who works in the banking industry, called me that morning, and he said, Dad, sell every share of stock you have. I said, why? He said, because they're voting on a bailout today, and they're going to vote it down, and the stock market's going to tank. He said, and tomorrow, buy it all back, because Friday they're going to vote it all back in. And I told him he was nuts. Well, I sell a few things just because he's usually right. They voted on it. They turned it down. The stock market went down 700 points, bought everything back the next day. Friday, they voted in an $8 billion bailout, and all the stock went back up.
And now, Mike, you can run for Congress.
Exactly.
Mike,
okay.
Thanks for
Doctor, thank you so much. And let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm a conservative, but I love your show, and I have learned so much from you. Thank you so
That's
much.
That's so nice to hear, Mike. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. You know what? Let's hear from Christian in Petersburg, where everybody goes through the pass. Christian, you're on.
Yes, thank you. I wonder if there's enough forces to combat, which I think is a wicked culture of
corruption.
I mean, it's really deep within our system. So deep, it is said that even Mark Twain, over 100 years ago, spoke up in one of his speeches that the largest criminal class in all of America was the Congress. And he was living, in Elmira at the time. He had a home in Elmira, New York. And so he just had to observe New York politics to see that the criminal class he was speaking
about.
Well,
Christian, what is it? I mean, is it just that there's opportunity, people see their opportunities and they take them, as Plunkett of Tammany Hall once said, or is it the fact that we individuals are weak? I was interviewing a politician this morning, and I said, what do you do when somebody walks in your office and offers you a great deal of money? And this guy said it never happened to him. But I think it must happen on a fairly regular basis because, they give you a little bit of money and they expect a great deal back for what they're buying.
Right. Well, what do you do is right. That's always the question. We're in a system or democracy.
Yep.
That says, the lawmakers sit in their legislatures in New York or the Congress in Washington.
Yep.
And holy God, all of a sudden they see and they hear and they're in that club. It's like a club. Look at all the money that's available.
But, we just had a call from somebody who said that there are a lot of millionaires in the Congress.
Right.
It's sort of interesting that the American people love electing rich guys. And you know why I think, Christian? Because I think they think that rich guys don't have to steal. As I've often said, their fathers stole. They don't have to.
That's good.
Well, Christian, thanks for the call. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It. Yeah, bye. 1-800-348-2551. Love your calls. Love hearing from all of you. And let's hear from regular Tommy from Neversink. Tommy, you're on.
My comment on this issue is look at what's legal to do. There's legal
robbery.
You're
exactly right.
It's just, it controls or influences every decision made in government.
Yep.
And it's to the point where we're not in a democracy anymore. It's a pay-to-play system.
Sure.
And the tail is wagging the dog.
Well, I think in some cases, Tommy, that's true. In others, it's not. I mean, when you raise, for example, the minimum wage, there was a demand for that. The Assembly went along with it for years. The Senate didn't want it. Now the Senate is one foot in the Democratic grave for them, the Republicans. They have to go along with some of this stuff. But you're absolutely right that the guys on K Street come down, they want what they want, and they would not think of breaking the law because there are legal ways. I was just teaching a class and saying to them, okay, so now here's the deal. Is it illegal to say, if I give you this money, will you do something? Will you do this specific thing for me?
They don't have to say it.
No. That's right. That's the point. The answer is, yes, that's illegal.
Right.
And I took a soda bottle that was on the table and I said, let's pretend this is a microphone. And if you say that into this microphone, you're going to jail.
Right.
But if you give a guy $500,000 or a party, political party or whatever the limits are, and you give them that money, but you don't say you have to do anything for me. But there's honor among thieves. They understand that they're being bought, right? But that's not illegal, as you point out.
Well, Mitch McConnell took $131,000 from an oil company on the day they were going to debate whether or not to continue the oil subsidies. I mean, come on. Oh, that didn't influence his thinking?
Probably not.
On the
he was probably there already. But Tommy, you make great points. I thank you so much for your call. Appreciate
thank
it. Yep, bye. 1-800-348-2551. Two free phones. Malcolm in Sunderland, Massachusetts. Malcolm, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
So it's got me thinking, of course, the last caller mentioning the money thing is, you know, definitely a big problem going on, but kind of a no-brainer as well. I think the root, you know, trying to get at the root of it, you know, we can say that the money is a no-brainer. We can say that human, you know, human ability to fall to these, you know, to the money is kind of a no-brainer too. There's also kind of an underlying thing that I want to talk about, which is the other side when, say, some of these good people who aren't necessarily rich but get in there and really want to make a change get in there, is that, you know, even they can throw a whole lot of money at some of these folks and they're not going to fall. But then there's also the threat side of it, which is that, you know, and I don't mean to play the total paranoid card here because I don't think this is the only thing playing on the system, but once someone's up into that kind of a sphere, say, as a congressperson, it's pretty easy for the wrong people, say, who want to have influence, to know enough about those people so that there are security risks and threats. And we know that because the president of the United States, specifically Barack Obama, you know, has had, you know, some of the most, you know, high security threats of any president, as far as I understand, you know, to his family and to his personal security. You know, having to do, of course, with race pretty specifically, but, you know, be that as it may, it's the further in there you get, the more risk there is of that. And also, they kind of know right where you are. And a lot of those people, as they say, being rich, you know, maybe that means that you're not going to have a greed factor, but, and I don't mean to put this too rawly, but, you know, a lot of people out there have pretty soft pink bellies. We're very comfortable here in America, and, you know, don't poke them and mess with their kind of inner family life and, you know, or mine.
Okay, Malcolm, you know, okay, Malcolm, you made that point. That's good. Now, but I don't agree with you on one thing. I don't think you even have to go that far. I mean, I think the money does it. The money does it. And, you know, I worked for a congressman and I visited him in prison. I love this man. And you know, there's always somebody trying to make you do the wrong thing. And you've got to be very strong. He was not by any means a millionaire. You got to be very strong. And by the way, he always claimed he was set up. He didn't do it. And there was some evidence that that was right. But I have to tell you, I don't think they have to threaten your kids. I think basically it gets to be greed. That's my understanding of it. Malcolm, we got to take a break, and I thank you for the call. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, we'll take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from Saratoga Health and Wellness, a fitness facility providing clinically trained nutritionists and exercise physiologists designing personalized wellness programs, saratogahealthandwellness.com. The Alternative Baker, Rosendale, artisan all-butter baked goods made from scratch, also offering vegan, sugar-free, and wheat-free options where taste is everything, lemoncakes.com. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, and resume and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com. Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, featuring primrose, seeds, soils, pansies, orchids, houseplants, and gardening gear, wardsnursery.com. And the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org.
And we are back, and we hope that you'll pick up the phone and call us and let us know what you think. You know, so interesting. It's not political party either. I mean, in you have Malcolm Smith allegedly making offers of bribes to people so that he could run on the Republican ticket. He needed what was called, and it's one of my favorite terms of all, and it's been around since 1949, a Wilson Pakula. Now, the guys in politics allow you to run in another party's election or primary, but only if they say it's okay. This is disgusting, folks. I mean, there are many other states. You want to run, you run. You get enough signatures, you're on the ballot. But here in New York, these people, in their worst moments, decide that we're going to be the deciders of who can run and who can't. It's disgusting. So Malcolm Smith says, according to the allegation, I'm going to bribe my way into getting three county leaders to vote that I could have a Wilson Pakula to do this. It sounds like a cigar, doesn't it? Anyway, I need you to call. I want you to call. Let's go to Wolfgang in Pownall, Vermont. Okay, Wolfgang, you're on.
Hey, nice to talk to you, Alan. Few things I want to say here.
Okay.
I live in Vermont, so things are a little different. Government's a little smaller. It's a smaller state. And the only place where we really have any corruption-free government is in the local towns where the citizens are involved at a level that everybody knows everybody. And once it gets beyond that, even into the school boards, then people start embezzling money and doing all kinds
of
nasty
all,
things.
But Wolfgang, not all people. I mean, that's a pretty broad brush.
I think it's so widespread that it's astounding. I mean, you know, is it corruption to bribe a waiter to get a good table? Is it corruption to bribe somebody on a train to get a seat you're not entitled to?
But doesn't everybody do that, Wolfgang?
I think a lot of people do, and I think this is our heritage from the British culture that we inherited when we were colonies. They sent people over here who were officials to do jobs of the people who had the titles and stayed in England, and in order to make up the difference in their salary that they didn't get for coming over here, they took bribes, and it continues today. I think the only way to deal with it is to make it legal and have everything reported and the lines on the income tax, who gave who what, and tax it. That's all. And then everybody will know who's getting what from whom and stop pretending that it's going to go away because
it hasn't in
230 years.
Well, it hasn't, but there's no question that it does go on. I think Mike Bloomberg, who I have great respect for, has given immense amounts of money to the Republican parties, the Republican Senate candidates. In fact, the other day, two of them did something that he didn't like about taking pictures of speeding cars, and he got mad at them. And all the newspapers printed, and he gave them thus and so much money, you know, last year. All legal, by the way. All absolutely legal.
Well, it should be.
So there you are. My Wolfgang, very interesting, and thank you for calling. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Three free phones. Let's go to Jonathan in Norfolk. Okay, Jonathan, you're on.
As a Brit, I welcome the point that the whole system was inherited from the corruption of 18th century Britain. Corruption, legitimate and illegitimate, I think is probably endemic to the human psyche.
I agree with you.
And I think the thing that one might want to think about is that, for example, taking New York State, it has a hugely complex, many-faceted governmental system. It's large and complex and not particularly transparent. And this allows a lot of skullduggery to go undetected. And I think the only way we can really deal with this is try and have a smaller government system. Someone told me that there were over 2,300 more or less
governments. Well, it's huge. It's huge. But if you Jonathan, if you centralize power, doesn't that give more incentive to bribe those people?
Well, clearly that's the case with the centralization of power in Washington, is it not?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think. I hope not. That
We talked about legitimate and illegitimate forms of corruption.
Well, right. Yeah.
Correspondence was saying that K Street and the lobbyists and the billions or millions which are spent by people with interest before the government is a form of legitimized corruption.
Yeah, but Jonathan, there are all kinds of people who resist corruption. I mean,
yes, I agree.
I think it's really unfair to paint everybody with the same brush. Look, I've hung around the legislature. I'm publisher of the Legislative Gazette. You know, pretty well people know who the bad guys are. You do.
Well, why are the bad guys allowed to persist in government?
Because they're people are electing them in their districts. Now, Preet Brofer, the federal prosecutor, says it's a endemic corruption. But he knows, we all know, that there are some very good people in the legislature. Look, somebody just called from Vermont and said, the higher you go. I didn't want to start up with them. But, you know, I would be very surprised if Bernie Sanders ever took a bribe. Very surprised. He fights for the people. He does all the rest of the stuff. So it's really not fair to say, you know, everybody takes money.
I didn't say that. I didn't think you did.
Yeah.
But I want to ask a very specific question about New York and the legislature in New York. I believe that most of the legislative people there are allowed to occupy other professions other than just being the legislator.
That is correct.
And I'm not sure that's common in is everywhere in the United States. Does that in itself
the whole concept is of citizen legislators. It's nonsense, of course. And it's not attractive. They get $79,000 in pay, plus they get what are called Lulus or extra service vouchers if they're a committee chairman or a caucus person or something. Most of them make about $100,000. But of course, if they're in a real estate business, right? You're following me, Jonathan.
If I am.
Why in the world, if you have a choice between going to a schnook down the street or to the guy who may be of some help to you by giving him business in the real estate or the insurance business, why wouldn't you do that?
I know. Perhaps we ought to increase the compensation of our elected officials.
That would be over my dead body, but what can
Let me give you an example. As you know, the President of the United States is paid $400,000 a year.
Yep.
In equivalent dollars, Teddy Roosevelt was paid something like $1.3 million a year with no income tax. I think we might get a better class of people.
I don't think so. And I think
I'm pulling your leg.
Yeah, I think what would happen is that guy, you know, one book by Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, one book. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. A lot of money, right?
And Teddy Roosevelt, of course, wrote some much better books and many more of them than our later president.
Jonathan, your time is up. I thank
you
for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, that leaves one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Arlene in Cahongsin. Arlene, welcome to the program. Are you the first woman who has called today? I think you may be. No, you're not. Yeah, number one. Okay, go ahead, Arlene. Oh no, it's Arlen. It's not Arlene. Shame on me. Arlen, my profound apologies. I didn't mean anything by it. Go ahead.
That's okay, but I'm sorry to disappoint you, Alan.
Yeah, that's okay.
Being a political scientist, I'm sure you're familiar with a quote that I've heard. I'll paraphrase something like, if you're a legislator, if you can't take their money and...
Yeah, it's Jesse Unruh. He had been the... I knew him quite well. He had been the speaker of the California legislature. And he was pretty full of himself. And he ran against Ronald Reagan. But this classic quote, you can't... well, there's some words you can't use on the radio, but maybe you can. Go ahead. If you can't go around with their women, that's a euphemism. And if you can't drink their whiskey and if you can't take their money, then you have no business being in politics.
That's right. And I think you had mentioned earlier that there just are too many weak politicians who can't stand up to the pressure or maybe who don't want to. I agree with the caller who is talking about transparency, because I'm not confident that enough penalties or controls can be imposed to control the influence of money.
Can it be one? Does it have to be one or the other? Can it be both? I mean, for example, who did they think they were fooling? They came up with a law this year and yet another new ethics commission, which they call Jay Joke around here. In which, they said, okay, you don't have to tell us exactly how much money you're getting on the outside. You have to tell us between this figure and that figure. As soon as they do that, the transparency is gone, right?
That's true. That's true. And there's no reason why it shouldn't be both.
No reason why they shouldn't be both. But I'll tell you why they don't do that. They don't do it because they don't want to tell you. And they know you'll go away and you'll be frustrated. Most people don't even know who these legislators are, particularly in places like, you know, New York City. Up here, we pretty well know who our legislators are.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, that was my comment, Alan.
Well,
thank you.
I thank you, Arlen. And again, I apologize for my indiscretion. Bye.
That's okay.
Let's go to Eric in Hyde Park. Eric, you're on.
Hi, Professor. I was just considering something you and another caller were talking about, how why would a well-intentioned originally legislator start to take money? And my thought was, well, if this person got elected, and perhaps to get elected, an individual like, for example, Exxon, donated a large chunk of the money that they needed to be elected. They don't even have to offer a bribe at some point in the future. If the legislator implies that he's going to do something that they don't agree with, all they have to do is threaten to not support them the next time around.
They don't even have to do that, Eric. You know why?
Well,
because
not even,
these
not,
guys
not directly.
Because
yeah.
These guys know exactly what the deal is. They know what
exactly.
That is.
It's implied. It's there. And
it's the law. It's the law of anticipated reaction.
Exactly. And once they're there, it's like the old crime drama where, you know, the two petty thieves, all of a sudden now they're involved in a big crime, and now they're involved in an even bigger crime. And well, now I've got you, you know, and you can't get out.
But, you know, you made a profound point. You said they start out differently. And that is absolutely true. You know, I know these guys. They kiss little Timmy goodbye. They say, Timmy says, where are you going, Daddy? And they say, to make the laws, they believe it. They get up here and within 10 minutes, I knew a guy, this is a true story, who nicely, happily married, wonderful guy, runs for the legislature. The wife's family puts up the money. He gets to Albany, you know, 2 days later, he's going around with this lady, lobbyist, and he gets a telephone call, come home, you're done. And he does, and he does. These are human foibles, and people fall into them.
Yeah.
Eric.
Exactly. I really don't have any more to say. I agree with you entirely.
Thank you, Eric. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
1-800-348-2551. We go to David in Woodstock. David, you're on. Ah, what's that?
Alan, hang on just a second. I'm going to pull over and get you off speakerphone.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want you.
Okay, now I'm parked.
We want you alive.
Yeah, now I'm no longer driving and you're off speakerphone. So here's my comment. I think that unlike most criminals, like, say, for example, that kid in Aurora, Colorado who killed 12 people,
yeah,
or unlike the crack addicts who were put in jail for 20 years for possessing some crack cocaine, who did not make any kind of calculation about the
consequences,
the reward punishment of their crime versus how long they were going to be in jail. I think politicians do make those judgments, and they say to themselves, I can get millions of dollars, and what I'm putting at risk is a year or two in jail. And, you know, Alan, I'd probably do a year in jail for $10 million.
You know what? This wasn't $10 million. This was much, much less. This is one guy got $7,000, and I don't agree with you. I think what happens, David, and I say this respectfully, of course, what happens is that they are so arrogant that they think they can get away with it. And I think in some cases, and I may well be with Malcolm Smith, who is under investigation for many other things, what happens is they have gotten away with it, and their arrogance leads them to think that they can continue to do it, and they'll never get caught.
Well, in either event, then if one of them got put in jail for 25 years, that might be the coffee that made them wake up and stop and think, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe this is a little bit...
25 years later, you mean?
Yeah. Well, no, not for them, because all the other politicians going, 25 years, I think I'll reconsider this. Maybe I won't be quite so arrogant or so greedy, whichever it is, whether it's the greed or the arrogance.
Well, you could be right. Back on the road, David. Thank you very much. Bye. Okay. Let's go to Martha. Hey, Martha, are you the first woman who's called in this whole thing? That's wonderful. Go ahead, Martha.
Well, my two comments. Well, the first one relates to de Tocqueville in America. In his journals in the early 1800s, he identifies one of the problems that he sees as a weakness in American democracy.
Yep, is?
Is cronyism and money.
Yep.
He was in New Orleans and he watched an election And
it's still going on in New Orleans.
Yeah, he saw the seeds of this back then as the major weakness in American democracy.
I knew a congressman who used to give his people what was called walking around money. Literally walking around money during the election. They would go out and they would find guys who hadn't voted and weren't going to vote, and they peeled off whatever the bill was, a $5 bill, and said, "Here, go vote." And they did.
Yeah, yeah. And then my second comment is that why do Americans vote for millionaires and billionaires? People in America identify money with success. They think that these are successful business people who will be successful at running the country and creating policies that will make everybody else rich. And even though it's proven over and over that there is no correlation, that they might be personally successful, they might have inherited the money, but it doesn't make any difference once they get in. It's the character of the person that you're electing that makes the difference.
I agree with you. I also think, and I want to be very careful about how I say this, there are some people who understand the way the game is played.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some people who are new to power. And those are the people, the new to power, the recently enfranchised, who often are in the worst shape because they think that it's okay when it's not.
Yeah. And that's all that I had to say.
Yeah. Hey, Martha, thank you so much for calling up. Appreciate it. Okay.
You're welcome.
We're going to take a very short break. We'll be right back, and we'll talk to Michelle and Ben and everybody else who wants to call, because there are three free phones right now. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, take it away, Zachary.
Support for WAMC comes from Glens Falls Hospital, Big City Medicine, Hometown Care. Serving 6 counties in the southern Adirondacks and 28 locations, Twitter, Facebook, and glensfallshospital.org. Capcom Federal Credit Union, offering home mortgages, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more, capcomfcu.org. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie Harry, presenting American Impressionism, Masterworks in Watercolor and Pastel, featuring works by Mary Cassatt and Child Hossam, arkellmuseum.org. And the Albany Academy and Albany Academy for Girls, single-gender education for boys and girls, co-educational opportunities in upper school, prospective student visiting days today through Friday, albanyacademies.org.
We are very quickly joined by one of the resident geniuses, junior geniuses here at, you'll be full genius soon.
Great.
Our wonderful Patrick Dondras, who is a producer of this program. Patrick, welcome.
Hi, Alan. Thank you. I'll look out for that
junior
full genius memo. Mm-hmm. Judith on Facebook says, people don't favor millionaires. If they did, Palladino would be governor and Amador would be state senator. Millionaires get elected because of campaign financing. The answer to routinized corruption is to end the bribery of large donations, which is why we need public financing of elections. The answer to the kind of corruption that resulted in yesterday's arrest is stringent oversight and strict ethical laws strictly enforced. And Noah on Facebook says, anyone got any good numbers on how much Boehner accepted from TransCanada during the Keystone XL debate? That's a good question.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us, Patrick. That's really good of you. So we're back. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Michelle in Del Mar. Michelle, you're on.
Oh, hello, Alan.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I had kind of more of a comment than anything.
Sure.
Or I guess it could be construed as a question, but I'm thinking that the reason we vote for or elect millionaires is because they're really the only people who can afford to get into a political career. Someone who's an average income kind of person really just wouldn't have the means or the connections, to get funded and to leave their job and be a politician.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's right. I've seen a lot of the children of wealth think that this is something that they would like to do. Their parents are proud of them. They'll they'll put up the money. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who's ever run for political office could do that. But it's true. What you say is true. And also, I have this other feeling, which I've already articulated once here, which is that we Americans tend to trust rich people because we think that they're impetus or their, you know, their need to steal will be less than others. So and we worship our royalty is our people who made money. Look at JFK. Look at, you know, some of those folks. It's really true. Now, Barack Obama didn't start out with a lot.
No. And you know, certain people like Barack Obama is an excellent example. You know, have a charisma that sort of rises above the need for money.
Sure.
You know, they have a personal ability and a compelling story that people want to hear and want to promote.
Sure.
And I think that helps, but I think that's the exception, not the rule, in a lot of cases. But I would have to, you know, respectfully disagree. I never think of, like, wealthy people as people who I'm, you know, I think are less likely to steal. I guess my favorable opinion would be, like, they know how to do something I don't because they're millionaire and I'm not. You know, so it's more about...
Well, you may be right. You know, you may be right. It's also a question of how much. So if you get a Harriman or a Rockefeller, now they really don't have to steal. But some guys, you know, who have risen up the hard way and have some real money, they may be in a different location. Intellectual location. Michelle, thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So that leaves one phone free. Let's go to Ben in Coxsackie. Okay, Ben.
Alan, how you doing?
Well, I'm good. Good.
Good. Hey, the weather finally got nice.
Did
I see sun.
I haven't been outside, so I'm delighted to hear that.
Oh, that's a shame. What time are you done?
When this is over, and what's happened, and the problem is, because I've been going since 3:30 this morning.
Yeah, but, that's, I've been listening to you here and there.
So if I leave now, I get home in time to
the dark.
No, to meet the tax man who's doing our taxes.
Ooh.
This is always enough to give you a stomachache, believe me. Okay.
He's coming directly to your house? You're not going to him?
No, he's coming to our house.
Oh, he's going to charge you more.
Without question.
Yes. You know, you're going to think I'm a psycho, but the worst thing that ever happened was when they got the mafia out of politics.
How do you figure?
Well, you had to figure they kept these guys on the straight and narrow.
You know, Who kept what on the straight and narrow?
Well, the mob kept all of these politicians on the straight and narrow. This is what you got to do. This is how you talk. They got their lawyers involved, and you talk to this lawyer, and you talk to this lawyer. You know, don't you think that, you know?
I have no idea what you're talking about. If you can help me out. Help me out here.
LaGuardia days back, you know, when, you know, this is how you do it. You know, you don't get involved. You don't open your mouth too much. You don't take bribes, you know, different bribes from different people. We give you money, filter it through different channels, and you're going to get it eventually.
You don't remember Jimmy Walker or Mayor O'Dwyer. He had to run to Mexico. He was so dirty. You know, so no, I don't agree with you. And remember that these guys...
Well, I'm not saying agree with me. I'm just saying that's the way it kind of was back then.
Well, I don't know that it was good, though. You sound like...
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's good at all. No, it was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Okay.
You know, I mean, they took over the Teamsters,
Indeed.
The steelworkers. I mean, they just destroyed pretty much New York City got destroyed.
Yeah, do you think, Gotti went away and Junior went away and all the rest of it. Do you think that, in fact... Do you think, in fact, it's still there?
No, it's not there. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's...
Yeah. You know what I think? I think it's still there.
In small quantities, maybe, but they're not really deep into the politicians, I don't think. They're not deep into their pockets.
Yeah,
they were back in the 50s, 60s, 40s, 50s, 60s, deep into the politicians.
Well, I got to go watch a replay of the Godfather Part 2 and it'll tell me a little bit more. You'll be a United States senator waking up with, you know, a dead prostitute in your room.
Yeah, be careful you don't find a horse head in your bed, too, right?
Hey, Ben, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Sure. You have a good day. Thank you.
Right. Let's go to Kevin in Cambridge. Kevin in Cambridge, you're there.
Hi. I think one of the unfortunate things about what came out yesterday is that it sort of reflects a very amateur corruption compared
you're
to
the legalized
corruption.
Right. You're absolutely right. This guy is a minor leaguer. I agree with you.
This guy, Christine Lavin wrote a song which I love, which is what could he have been thinking? I was telling my students today at our seminar. Well, think about this. If you tell one person a deep, dark secret, is there a chance that that's still a secret?
Right.
No.
Well,
you tell seven people, you're done.
Well, one of the things I think is interesting is there's the legalized corruption when you see what you see in the revolving door of regulators and elected officials. In fact, there was an interesting insight into that when Neil Barofsky had written who was the original investigator in charge of the TARP program. And he talked about being sat down by an emissary from the White House and being told, you're not making friends. You're being a little too, you're doing your job too well. And you're not going to get a job on Wall Street afterwards. And it wasn't overt quid pro quo, but the message was sent. Look around, everyone else who plays ball is taken care of. Mary Shapiro leaves the SEC. She goes to work for a very elite organization where she can charge up to $10,000 an hour. Neil Barofsky didn't play ball, and he's teaching at a college, at a professor's house.
Oh, boy, that's terrible. That one, my tongue was in my cheek.
Compared to $10,000 an hour.
So what you're saying is there is a language that is existent within the process that keeps everybody in line.
Well, I think what there is an established path and an established example where politicians who get in and play along will leave. And our new Treasury Secretary, he left from Bill Clinton's administration, went and got a very cushy job under questionable circumstances at NYU, and then went to work for Citibank, now he's Treasury Secretary.
And to say nothing of the last Treasury Secretary.
Exactly. it's not a partisan thing. I think it's either side. I think you could look at Bill Clinton or Tony Blair and see the same thing. They played ball with big interests, and then they go out and they get huge speaking fees. And it's not overt. But if you play along, you will be taken care of afterwards.
Kevin, I thank you for your call. If it weren't so many people, I'd stay on with you all day long. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Peter in Rock City. Okay, Peter in Rock City, you're on.
Hello, Alan.
Hey.
Alan, I'm about a year younger than you are.
Okay.
And I want you to remember something called post-Watergate morality.
Okay.
What happened to that? Number one.
Define your term so that all of us, including me, will know what you're talking about.
Just in general. And
well, they found this thing. They busted it wide open. Nixon resigns. Journalism, investigative journalism takes off. But I don't know that the actual morality of the country or of politics changed.
No, I don't think it did, and that segues into my next point,
okay.
Which is because of our rapid communication, something happens or in Tibet, we know about it instantly, but I think this has been going on for a long
time. You mean the Malcolm Smith thing? You know what? I'm fascinated by what I've been hearing. I mean, look, it's true that Republicans and Democrats both get caught and have this year. But on the other hand, I do think there are some people who understand how to negotiate the game. They don't do things which are overtly illegal. They do things that may be immoral, but they don't do things that are overtly illegal. This guy was so arrogant, according to the federal prosecutor, that he went and did very stupid things with almost no hope of any major reward. In other words, he was an idiot.
Agreed. Now, my next one, I only have two really quick points, and I'll do it very quickly.
Okay.
Love your thing about you have a staff, or I forget who it is, that you said looks very much like a communist. I should continue like crazy.
I'm sorry, you're busting up, Peter, so I think I heard you say that thought some staff member looked like a communist.
It looked like a communist from the old regime, and it was very funny. And
Peter, I really can't hear you. You really are busting up.
I'm trying to be as accurate as I can.
No, it's not your accuracy.
It's pay me now or pay me later.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was for Fram Oil filters.
That's correct. It was John. Was it John Arbuckle who said, "You can pay me now, or you can pay me later." I've often used
it. Thank you very much, John.
Hey, Peter, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Darig in Greenfield. Is it Darig?
Daria.
Oh, Daria. See, there I go again. My apologies.
No, it's fine. You know, when you just now, by the way, I really agree with Kevin a couple of callers ago.
Yeah.
A lot. But when you said how the game is played, do you think that's part of the problem, that people think of this as a game? You know, it's not a game. I mean, these decisions are, it matters so much to everybody.
Yeah, so but when a guy, maybe I used the wrong word or maybe not, but when a guy allegedly steals for almost nothing compared to, you know, I mean, this guy was an idiot. He was never going to get elected Republican on the Republican ticket as mayor of New York. He wanted to get on the ballot. He started to bribe people and to pay people off. And he told all these people. So we refer to it as the political game or politics as a game. Perhaps it's wrong, but and perhaps you're right to warn us not to do that. But they do think of it as a game.
Well, you know, I'd like to ask, are there any countries that you know where it really seems that politics is above board?
Well,
you know,
a guy called up before and said in Vermont, it's not. But I've always thought of Vermont as a country where they do the good politics compared to places like New York. You know, Daria, what I really love about some progressive states, and frankly, I love it about my state, Massachusetts, you know, you can get a bill passed by getting enough signatures and passing it. It's called initiative and referendum.
Yeah.
In New York, I'll tell you when the legislature will allow initiative and referendum. Never, ever. Because they want control. That's why they passed this stupid, law which makes you go to the county chairman before you're allowed to run. It's crazy. I think that there are some cultures, some of the Scandinavian cultures and others, which are a lot better than ours.
Well, thanks for bringing this topic up and for all the discussion stuff you guys do. It's very helpful.
And Daria, we love hearing from you. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, let's go to Bennett in Newburgh, New York. Hey, Bennett.
Hi. If you want to keep the money out of politics, the way to do it is to keep the money out of society in general, at least the unequal distribution of the money.
Yeah.
Of course, no, but listen, of course you're going to have corruption when you have some people who have so much money that after they buy their second Maserati, their third summer home, it's time to buy their first congressman. And if the problem that we have is we allow these people to get so filthy rich that it's impossible to keep them out.
Well, okay, what do you want to do? I mean, how would you
well,
do
it? Tax, a steeply progressive tax, okay. A maximum on how much wealth people can own. You know, it's not so much the old...
Wait, because we're running out of time. Do you think there's a chance that that'll get done?
Yeah, of course it is. Yes, well, listen, if it doesn't, we're screwed. I mean, it's a matter of necessity. It's a matter of you're saying, like, is there a chance that we'll be able to get enough food to eat next week?
Yeah.
We damn well better get enough food to eat next week. But here's the thing, it's not so much the oligarchs that scare me, because you figure these guys have been in power so long, they might even have some noblesse oblige and want to see that everyone else is kind of equal.
Yeah.
What scares me is the petty billionaires, guys like Trump, for instance.
I think you make a good point.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Bye.
No, I do. I think you make a good point. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. We are just about out of time. I have a lot of things, people I got to thank here. So I am so sorry. Mike from Albany says the idea is getting rid of the revolving door. In other words, you go into the Congress, you go into the legislature, and then you get a good job lobbying the legislature or working for a bank, which you've been covering. And that's a good point, Mike. And Paul from Amherst, who says the problem is capitalism, it may be the problem. But that's what we got. It ain't changing. So what we have to do is make, in my mind, incremental change. Again, Paul and Mike, sorry we couldn't take your calls. So now I have to read all those nice people who are helping us out here. Carrie Haddad Gallery, Hudson, New York, presenting Dale Payson's Still Lives and Francie's Ceramics and Works by Jenny Kemp. Now through April 14th, CarrieHaddadGallery.com. The Snow Farm in Williamsburg, a New England craft program offering creative arts workshops taught by master craftspeople for adults and teens, beginners and up, snowfarm.org. And Maria College, Albany, New York, offering RN baccalaureate. Completion program, associate's degrees and professional certificate programs, day, evening, weekend, and online classes, mariacollege.edu. Turning the page, I come to Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Identity Eyewear, it's what sets you apart. EYEDENTITY, eyewear.net. And thank you all. And anybody who's listening today and really appreciates WAMC and says, hey, you know what? You can't get this anywhere else. Go to WAMC.org and put a little bit in the lockbox. It's either referred to as the locked box or the lock box, or for those of us from the West Side, the locks box. So what you need to do is say, hey, this is too good to be true. If this weren't here, what would I get? Yeah, go to the lock box. Go to WAMC.org and just click on it. And here comes the music. Thanks to heavens. And I'm out of here, and you're there, and I'm not. Bye.